Economics isn't the intimidating, equation-filled discipline you might imagine. It's actually 95% common sense deliberately dressed up in complex language. When someone claims there is no alternative to a particular economic policy, they're making a political statement disguised as scientific fact. The 2008 financial crisis dramatically illustrated this reality, as supposedly infallible economic models failed spectacularly, revealing the field's limitations. Economics affects everything from the food on your table to the phone in your pocket, yet most people avoid engaging with it, intimidated by its apparent complexity. What if you could see through the smoke and mirrors? Economics is fundamentally about how society organizes production, distribution, and consumption, decisions that shape our daily lives. Rather than accepting a single correct economic perspective, understanding multiple viewpoints empowers you to think critically about the forces shaping your world. Imagine being able to decode economic news and policies, recognizing the values and assumptions behind them rather than accepting them as inevitable scientific conclusions. When Adam Smith wrote about markets in 1776, he described small factories, 80-hour work weeks, and face-to-face transactions between acquainted parties. His invisible hand concept showed how competition guided self-interest towards social benefit. Today's landscape is unrecognizable. Modern corporations employ millions through complex bureaucracies spanning multiple countries. On Amazon, algorithms determine search results, seller success, and pricing. Major retailers like Walmart shape global manufacturing sectors. The financial system has evolved from local banks to a sophisticated network of derivatives, digital payments, and algorithmic trading. Consider how your economic life differs from your grandparents. You might subscribe to services rather than owning products, work remotely, or earn income from digital content, activities inconceivable in Smith's era. While supply and demand principles remain valid, applying them meaningfully requires understanding how technology and institutions have transformed our economic relationships. Remember being told that free markets and free trade are the only path to prosperity? This story contradicts the actual history of how today's wealthy nations developed, like someone climbing a ladder and then kicking it away so others can't follow. Britain, portrayed as free trade's pioneer, actually developed through strategic protectionism initiated in 1721, only embracing free trade in 1860 after securing industrial dominance. The United States maintained the world's highest industrial tariffs for nearly a century during its development. Alexander Hamilton explicitly argued that American industries needed protection from superior British competition, the infant industry argument. After American independence, British Prime Minister William Pitt declared colonists shouldn't manufacture so much as a horseshoe nail. Such concern reveals that free trade doesn't naturally benefit everyone equally. Countries unable to protect their emerging industries found themselves trapped in producing raw materials, remaining economically subordinate. Economic development typically requires strategic government intervention, not simply unfettered markets. Economics isn't a single perspective, but a restaurant offering diverse viewpoints across 9 schools of thought. The classical school introduced the invisible hand, where self-interest creates social benefits. Neoclassical economics emphasizes rational choice and mathematical precision. Marxist economics analyzes class conflict between workers and capitalists. The developmentalist tradition advocates strategic intervention for building productive capabilities in developing economies. The Austrian school defends free markets not because humans are rational, but because we aren't, arguing complex economies can't be centrally planned. Schumpeterians highlight innovation and creative destruction as capitalism's engine. Keynesians created macroeconomics, analyzing the economy beyond its individual parts. Institutionalists examine how social rules shape economic behavior, while behavioralists study how actual humans make economic decisions. When consuming economic news, identify which theoretical lens is being applied. Unemployment might be viewed as a market clearing problem, neoclassical, a systemic feature of capitalism, Marxist, or insufficient aggregate demand, Keynesian. Each perspective reveals different aspects of the same phenomenon and suggests different solutions. No single theory captures economic life's full complexity. Economic textbooks portray individuals as rational utility maximizers, but large organizations actually dominate our economy. The 20 largest corporations produce about 10% of world output. Walmart employs over 2.3 million people, while Apple's supply chain spans 43 countries. When these giants shift policies, entire industries transform through complex processes involving multiple stakeholders, far different from individual consumer choices. Trade unions enable collective worker bargaining, while systems like Germany's co-determination formalize collective decision-making by placing workers on corporate boards. In all functioning economies, government remains the most important economic actor, typically employing up to 25% of the workforce, with expenditure representing 10 to 55% of national output. Even individuals don't match economic theory's portrayal. We exhibit multiple self problems, behaving differently across various roles. Our preferences aren't internally generated, but shaped by our social environment. We're motivated by patriotism, fairness, friendship, curiosity, and love, not just self-interest. Next time you hear policies justified based on rational individual choice, remember this reality gap. Our economy is dominated by organizations making collective decisions, not isolated individuals maximizing personal utility. Banking operates as a confidence trick dependent on collective belief. If depositors believe their bank can repay them, it will. If not, it won't. Banks promise immediate access to cash while keeping only a fraction as reserves, creating more money than physically exists. This works because withdrawals are typically staggered. However, if doubt spreads about solvency, depositors rush to withdraw funds, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure, a bank run, as seen in 2008. This trick is actually banking's purpose, creating more money by exploiting the fact that not everyone needs liquidity simultaneously. Before 2008, financial institutions created complex products like CDOs that obscured underlying risks. When the U.S. housing bubble burst, even supposedly safe investments proved worthless as they were based on shaky assets like subprime mortgages. Financial crises have increased significantly since deregulation began in the mid-1970s. The proportion of countries experiencing banking crises rose from nearly zero before the 1970s to 35% after 2008. Without stricter regulation, these crises will continue harming homeowners, workers, and retirees. Sustainable prosperity requires stable financial foundations, not clever financial engineering. Economics isn't about memorizing formulas. It's about thinking critically about forces shaping our world. When examining economic arguments, ask, who benefits? Numbers in economics, despite appearing objective, are constructed from contested theoretical concepts. How we define metrics like unemployment significantly affects policy decisions. Modern economics overly focuses on markets, neglecting that the economy also includes firm directives and government influence. This market fixation has led policymakers to overlook manufacturing decline and work quality. We should consider diverse perspectives in economic debates, remaining humble about our theories. Though changing economic reality seems difficult, history shows impossible changes do happen, from abolishing slavery to women's suffrage. Economics belongs to everyone, not just experts. By understanding its diverse perspectives and recognizing its political nature, you gain power to engage meaningfully with the economic forces shaping your life. Remember, economics is too important to be left to economists alone. It's your economy, too.